Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today we have a discussion on what might be the year's most buzzworthy topic, buy now, pay later. This is a conversation fit for almost everyone in our audience, financial institutions, merchants and retailers, fintech small description, and we're joined by three of the industry's top authorities to discuss it. Apur Shah is Senior Director of Merchant Growth and Buy Now, Pay Later at PayPal. Randy Broadbent is Solutions Consultant at Zoot Enterprises. And they're joined by Mercator Advisory Group's own Director of Credit Advisory Services, Brian Riley. Riley kicks the discussion off with some history and context to how the BNPL trend emerged. And from there, the discussion between Randy and Apur and Brian hits all the salient topics. Underwriting, instant decisioning, point of sale, fraud risk, integration, credit standards, frictionless payments. Like I said, this has something for everyone from bankers to merchants and fintech vendors. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So, Brian, can you start us off by giving us an overview of the buy now, pay later space?
Buy now, pay later is really an interesting development within consumer credit. And there's a couple of things interesting about it. First of all, it's not all that new. There have been companies in the space doing it for years, going back to General Electric Credit and Household Finance. But the model's been revitalized recently, probably over the last 4 years or so is a good benchmark. Where out of Europe, a model of paying in 4 installments over the course of 2 months came into play, and it's matured pretty well. And it moved from Europe to Australia, and then, of course, the big enchilada in a lot of ways is the U.S. market, where we've seen it here. There's a couple of things in it that are really interesting, and one of the primary points is that it really shifts the center of the transaction. You know, typically with a credit card, it's a matter of empowering a consumer to go buy. And here, the tables turn a little bit, and it's opening a financing option for merchants to bring in customers. And the concept is radical when it comes to payments. We're used to Americans and many other markets being happy with the revolving card, and you could manage a pay-in-4 model on your own if you want to. But what's interesting about this is that it's been able to embrace a whole new portion of consumers, some that might be outside of the realm of typical credit underwriting that comes with a credit card. That's good news, bad news. It certainly does bring in some potential business that wasn't there. But on the other hand, it's brought some skyrocketing risk. And that's what some of the players have seen as they search for profits on a net basis. You know, it's really easy to lend money, but at the end of the day, you do have to pay the piper and collect those funds. And some of that is starting to wane. We've seen examples of some of the fintechs where the late fees have become a really important part of their financials. And that's not how you want to run a credit business. The credit business should support itself. There should be a sound level of lending, and you should be able to amortize those payments into a profitable model that works for not only the financial institution, but also the consumer. So what we're going to talk today about, though, is PayPal's move in the market, and it's been interesting. If you're like me, you've had your PayPal account for more than a couple of decades. I originally started using PayPal as the internet started growing because I wanted to insulate my checking account from a merchant on the internet, and I just found that to be a safe and convenient way. And it's proved out, and we've seen PayPal do a lot of developments within its own ecosystem. I'm now moving to point of sale and certainly with pay options like Venmo and so forth. But here with PayPal, there was an announcement on June 15th about them doing a game changer within buy now, pay here lending. And instead of going for the pay in 4 model, it gives flexibility that goes out to 24 months at this time. And that opens up a whole universe because with buy now, pay later, you're kind of stuck in that model where the ideal sweet spot is about $100 to $200. And with this, you can address a much wider market. And you'll also hear about Zoot that runs some of the backbone of the decisioning that goes into that process.
Awesome. Apur, can you give us PayPal's perspective on the rise of buy now, pay later?
Yeah, sure. Happy to. You know, as Brian said, buy now, pay later has been around for a long time. In fact, PayPal has been in the space since 2008 when we acquired Bill Me Later, and frankly have still a lot of veteran Bill Me Later folks on the team. So we're coming up on, you know, almost 20 years of experience in the space. You know, pre-pandemic, buy now, pay later was really more focused on younger demographics, particularly in the new markets that it was coming into. And with those younger demographics, it was focused on verticals associated with those segments, right? Fashion, electronics, home, a bit of travel. But what we're seeing now, partly because of pandemic, and partly because I think because new entrants, larger entrants are coming into the space with bigger brands and more trust, we, at least at PayPal, are starting to see clearly adoption across all consumer segments and adoption across all verticals. And so that really has driven like a whole new sort of step function of growth over the last couple of years. And we expect to see that continue. The other thing that's sort of old but new again is how merchants are promoting these products, you know, primarily on their sites today, but we're starting to see it in store as well. Again, merchants using lending offers to, you know, attract new customers and engage existing customers is not a new thing, but there's a new twist that's been put on it for modern retail. And frankly, the big players in Buy Now, Pay Later have done a really good job of training merchants on how to use it as that marketing and lead generation tool. That said, obviously, Buy Now, Pay Later, to Brian's point, is still fundamentally a lending product. And so it's not enough to know just how to market. You have to know how to run that lending business operation, you know, operating within regulations, et cetera, really well if you want to be able to scale in the space. And so as a result of that, you know, we're starting to see some cracks emerge in the space. We still think, given the consumer and merchant demand that we're seeing, it's not a question of whether Buy Now, Pay Later is here to stay or grow. It's just how it grows responsibly, and how it sort of pivots to meet the demands of the cycle we're going through.
You know, Apoor had some interesting thoughts there that I just wanted to play back for a minute. And he talks about responsible growth and controlled lending. And that's really important, because although there's a case that merchants can say, yeah, I want anybody through the turnstile that you'll finance, you have to pay the piper for that sometime. You know, when you start having high ranges of default, you're going to lose a customer anyway later on. There's no question about it. And when you start thinking about the uncertainty that we have in our economy today, you know, interest rates going through the roof, inflation going through the roof, consumer confidence falling, and merchants are going to have a tough winter holiday season, without a doubt. So when you start thinking about this holiday season or the next one, you need to really think about the long-term play of how you want your financing model to be as a merchant. Now, PayPal certainly has no shortage of merchants within its network globally, and that's a good base for this. And then you start bringing in something like a disciplined process on Buy Now, Pay Later, and it looks like it can be a winner.
Randy, I'd like to ask you about underwriting. Buy Now, Pay Later arguably doesn't advance so far, so quickly, without a differentiation in underwriting. So talk to me about traditional underwriting process and what's different when we talk about Buy Now, Pay Later.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. First, I think, you know, kind of the advancement so quickly goes back to what Apoor said of the demographics, right? There first was a demographic, we'll say millennials and younger were driving it, that helped kind of the resurgence of this. But on top of that, I think what really launched the current version of Buy Now, Pay Later to take off was this whole concept of no credit check decision, right? Back to the good old days of, if you can fog a mirror, here you go, you can have financing. And I think that was very different, obviously, than the credit environment and the retail space that we've been in recently. And basically, the lenders and the merchants were really relying on the fact that you already have some other instrument, right? You have a credit card that you're going to place your four easy payments on, or you have a bank account that we're just going to pull that money from. So, hey, this person has a financial instrument, we're good. Let's go ahead and let them in the door. However, I think that's starting to shift, and it shift quickly. As we see in Europe, the regulators, the credit bureaus, everybody's really kind of pushing back and requiring these programs to converge back towards what is much more the traditional retail credit underwriting decision. And what I find most interesting is what we've talked about for 20 plus years is now kind of at the forefront again of the Buy Now, Pay Later process. It's frictional consumer experience, right? How do we make it as easy as possible for the consumer? Instant decisioning. How do you make sure that that consumer is not standing there for 10, 20 minutes waiting for a response? It's got to be, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. They get their approval and they're able to then proceed. And then once they're able to proceed, that ease of use. So making sure that it's integrated in the point of sale, the consumer can walk out the door with those goods and they know that their payment, you know, is going to be taken out of their account 2 weeks from now. And at the crux of all that is this idea of, we need flexible rules, right? We have to be really flexible so we can react quickly to all the market shifts that are happening. Like Brian pointed out, with the economic trade winds that are blowing, you have to be able to react and ramp up your credit quality very quickly as people start to become possibly underwater. And also, you have to be able to react quickly to fraudsters. If a fraud ring is hitting a select merchant or a select merchant type, you have to be able to raise up those walls really quickly. So now, today, the underwriting is pretty similar. But even, you know, 18 months ago, it was this whole no credit check financing that was quite a bit different, that I think made the underwriting pretty unique to start.
You know, it really makes sense that you have to look at this on a long-term horizon. It's just not one and done. The hope with a customer relationship is that it goes on for a while. And that is one of the important features when you're talking about having sound lending practices. You know, lenders have a responsibility to keep consumers out of trouble. That's not just Pollyanna, it's the law and under most jurisdictions. There's ability to repay requirements that go back to Dodd-Frank. So there's lender responsibilities to do the right thing, not just rubber stamp an approval and close the sale. Because to build that long-term relationship, not just with the customer and the merchant, but also the financing source and the merchant and the customer, it's a complicated ecosystem. And you really need to be cautious that sometimes you need to say no. But many times there's ways you could look to say yes. And that's part of what the appeal is with Buy Now, Pay Later, because you're not going in and trying to set up a $10,000 credit line. It's typically going to be a concise, explicit purchase, and you can take the relationship from there.
Brian, staying with you for a moment, it seems to me that the attention in the Buy Now, Pay Later space is prominently captured by startup companies. But meanwhile, established players have embraced Buy Now, Pay Later and responded to consumer interest. Is there a difference, though, between how merchants might perceive the startup players in the space versus those that are more mature?
Yeah, in some ways, they look as the fintechs being the real innovators on this. But, you know, they're not all the innovation goes to the fintechs. And it depends also how you what you call PayPal. In a lot of ways, PayPal is certainly a fintech. So there's overlapping definitions that causes an issue. But when you're looking at this from a business relationship, say from the merchant to its financing source, the merchant needs somebody who's going to be there tomorrow and next year and the following year so you can build something around it. It's not a matter of getting a one transaction through in the hopes of, gee, this startup company can get the financing easily. It's building a lasting relationship that has a foundation to it and also is a reliable channel that you'll be able to use, not just for this transaction, but other financing sources for your business.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if I could just jump in from PayPal's point of view, we've been doing this for a long time. We've been offering, you know, much higher ticket sizes as well. And so we have a very good understanding that, you know, and PayPal's not the only one, that working with regulators, working with credit bureaus, being able to respond to those changes in the market is just part of what you have to do to run a good business and how you stay, how you keep that responsible growth. And the other thing I guess I'll add from a merchant point of view is doing business with those more established providers can really make or break your own reputation in the long run. So we think, of course, that we have a pretty good shot at being a top player in the space because of those assets that we bring from our years in the business.
Yeah, I think if I was just going to put a bow on it a little bit, as Apurva just said, I think really the key here is evolution, right? This current iteration of Buy Now, Pay Later is relatively young, but what we're talking about is nothing new. As Apurva said, since, you know, they acquired Bill Me Later in 2008, and even, you know, 8 years before that, Zoot's been involved with Bill Me Later, and that product, I mean, change the middle word there to Now Pay, and it's the same product essentially in a different form or format, but there's always been that innovation really happening both in the retail space and the fintech space. And, you know, there's the idea of paying later for goods and services is not new, but it's just this current innovation and evolution. And I think, as I kind of stated earlier too, I think the keys of this current evolution are shifting back to that focus on frictionless consumer experience, frictionless merchant experience, make it easier for all parties involved to make this as easy as possible. But again, at the baseline of all that, and that's where, to Brian's point, it's somewhat of the fintechs, and we'll take the tech side of that, that the technology is really the base of it. You have to have technology that's going to allow for that rapid change so that the lenders can react to the market and you can really continue to move and evolve with this product as it matures. And I think these larger ticket items, these longer terms, you know, up to 24 months are here to stay. And that's really the evolution that we've probably seen over the last, let's say, 18 to 24 months.
Great, Apurva. Let's talk about BNPL from the perspective of the merchant. What makes Buy Now, Pay Later a powerful and differentiating tool for merchants?
Yeah, I think that the change in what we see now with Buy Now, Pay Later is that it's putting more control and power back in the hands of the customer. Customers are always going to pay the way they want, when they want. This is not new in the industry. It's why people carry so many different payment methods in their wallets, and merchants can't just offer a single payment method. We've always really believed in trying to give customers the flexibility they want so they can pay however they choose. And, you know, clearly buy now, pay later is now becoming a critical part of that choice. The difference here, going back to the control point, is that with consumers who are becoming increasingly credit averse, right, that is a segment, and consumers who are maybe have a credit affinity but are, you know, fee averse or interest averse, are just wary of, they like to use credit, but they're wary of getting themselves into too much debt. These kinds of products offer transparency, predictability in a way that traditional credit may not yet do for them. The other thing that Buy Now, Pay Later, the sort of modern version of Buy Now, Pay Later is doing is turning it into a marketing engine in a different way. And it's become a way to attract new customers. And so you can't ignore the power of that merchandising tool, again, particularly with these younger demographics. But again, going back to the top of the conversation, that's starting in these younger demos, but now clearly starting to expand into other, you know, sort of across the all consumer segments. And it's beginning to increase as we see Pay in 4 really take hold as a payment method, and customers are getting more accustomed to using that kind of product. We are seeing demand come in at these higher price points too. And that's why, you know, we just made the announcement that we're launching Pay Monthly, which gives customers, you know, much longer periods to pay on much higher ticket items. It's not supposed to be a high frequency kind of tool, but it is something that we're clearly seeing demand from as customers use the Pay in 4 product for increasingly larger purchases. So we're pretty excited about what the product does for our merchant base, you know, whether it is something that just is part of PayPal checkout that they already use today, or it's something they choose to really merchandise on their site to their customers. But we expect this to continue growing, and we expect to help our merchants with more and more of these options as they become more and more in demand by their customers and ours.
Well, gents, thank you so much for sharing your perspective. It's always so great to get three different perspectives on a topic as hot as Buy Now, Pay Later, certainly one of the year's hot topics. So thank you again for your time today.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.